doing the right thing. And it seems like the devil's always after Casey.
But somehow when I try to do stuff, it's not like he's after me. He don't even notice me sometimes. Why do you think that is, Casey? Why do you think that would be?
Because he knows harder to, you know, it's easier to get to you than it is to me. Because if I'm doing the right thing, doing what I need to do, he's going to try to come and get me so I can switch. But if you know that you'll just switch, it's like, quickly, he's not going to worry about you as much. Mm-hmm. So you're not really on his list at no more because he already has you mm-hmm. under his power.
Exactly. That's it. Why expend resources on somebody you've already got? Yeah. He's already got me, so the way that he keeps me is make me feel happy. Make me feel like, okay, I got it. It's easy. The way he gets you is to make you feel like your way. See, he wants me to feel like my way is working. So I stay in my way. He make you feel like your way is not working. So you'll come over to my way. So if you're doing good, Satan's coming after you. He's got to show you that your way is not the best way. And he tried to do that, Jonathan. As a matter of fact, Jonathan's a good example because as good as he was the first one to fall out of a terrible family. The first one to fall. Philistines followed hard after Saul and after his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua and the sons of Saul. The first one to fall was the best one they had.
Yeah.
The battle went sore against Saul. The archers hit him and he was wounded. Of the archers. What are archers?
Bow and arrows. Master.
Say again?
Master. Yeah.
They're master of the bow and arrows. So these guys, they caught Saul, and they probably caught him at a distance, wouldn't you say? Mm-hmm. All right, they got him. He got away. In verse 4, Saul said to his armor bearer, "Draw thy sword. Thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and abuse me." But his armor-bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. So Saul took a sword and fell upon it. What happened in verse 4? Go ahead, Jeremiah.
He dies. Mm-hmm. I think it was the sword-bearer, wasn't it?
Armor-bearer.
Yeah, the armor-bearer, my bad. The armor-bearer went to David and he told him. He was like basically freed from Saul trying to attack.
Wait, you said David? What did you say? David?
I am. Yeah. Well, I also have a question.
Spoiler alert.
Go ahead.
Okay, never mind.
You don't want to look. Spoiler alert. I think he's jumping. He knows he that there's another story of aside to that.
It sounds like you're out of verse. You're out of chapter 10 right now.
Do you see the question there?
Yes, the question is what happened in verse 4?
Verse 4, he basically drew the sword and he basically killed himself and he fell on it.
Right.
Making it pierce through.
Exactly. Saul, he took the sword and he fell on it, which means he killed himself with it. Now, what did he do, Brother Casey? What did Saul do before he killed himself? He had an interaction with somebody. Who was with him?
It was the armor bearer. No.
Yeah.
The armor bearer, right. And what does an armor bearer do? What's he do for?
They hold his equipment out there. Like how David Goliath, how there was a guy who holds his stuff.
The shield bearer or the spear bearer. So, yeah, he's the guy. So, the armor bearer, if you just look at the words, it's the guy who carries your armor for you.
Like a caddy.
Yeah.
Almost like a caddy on a golf course, yeah. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about armor, when you arm yourself, what are you doing?
You're defending yourself.
Right. You give yourself weapons. So, this is the guy who carried Saul's weapons that Saul couldn't carry. As the king, I mean, he wanted to go around the battlefield and not have to have a shield over here, his sword over here, his spear on his back, maybe he had a war axe or something like that, battle hammer, all kinds of stuff, maybe a crossbow, whatever. Maybe the crossbow.
Crossbow,
no. Not back in this time, not yet. But he had all this other stuff, he had all these things, and he didn't, in order to move effectively, because he was the head of the army, he had somebody who carried those other things for him. And like a caddy who's looking, lining up his shot, okay, give me my five iron, you know, something like that. He know the caddy looks down and he knows which one to give you because it's the shot you need. Sometimes a golfer will reach for something and the caddy already has the right club there for him. The armor bearer was just like that, except with your arms. So as the enemy's approaching, the armor, a skilled armor bearer could see who's approaching, get the sword ready before you even ask for it. Or get your shield ready. Oh my goodness, arrow's coming in. Hand your shield and you know what they know what to do. An armor bearer has your life in their hand. Because if they don't do their job right, they can't get you the right weapon in time or whatever, you could die. The enemy will be upon you, and you're ill-equipped to face him. Or, it's time to go to sleep. Who's going to sit up for watch? Well, it ain't going to be the king. It's probably going to be his armor bearer. You know, so this is a person that Saul had to trust. A person that had to trust Saul and had to have great loyalty to Saul. When Saul saw that basically the battle is over and the Philistines were going to come and get him. Mind you, Israel has fought the Philistines before. Some of the battles they won, some of the battles they lost. But this battle was different. The Philistines were coming for Saul. And his sons are already dead.
So instead of basically succeeding, they conquered.
Say again?
Instead of them actually just winning one-on-one or like one out of three, they more like conquered him. They conquered
the defeat.
Well, it's like, yeah, so the defeat.
You're saying, I'm
the Philistines.
Philistine defeated.
Right, they were defeated.
Instead of capturing.
Yeah. Right. For Saul. They weren't trying to capture Saul at this point. They were done with
they
that.
They don't want no hostages.
No, they wanted Saul dead. If Saul is dead, listen, there's a snake in your yard. What part of the snake do you when you're going to crush something on? What part are you going to crush?
The head.
If the head is gone, the body flip around all at once. If that head is gone, the snake can't hurt you, even if it's a constrictor. It can't hurt you. Well, it can if it's a rattlesnake. I mean, it can still bite like some minutes after its head's gone. But still, with its head, it's an instinctive reaction.
Oh,
it's not
crushed. Oh, it's dead. Yeah. It can actually be dead.
You can touch. Yeah, it'll be dead. Wow. You can pick up the dead head that you've crushed, and you touch that. Come near those fangs, and the whatever jaw muscle, it'll start moving, and it'll inject you with poison.
So you have to crush it till the insides come out.
And then you treat the severed head as if it's still alive. That's what you do. That's how you're safe with snakes. But this is the plan of the Philistines. Let's kill Saul. Destroy the head. They are almost there. Saul sees the Philistines coming. I mean, it's at the point he's so scared. There's no escape. There's nowhere to run. Even if there's a place to run, there's so many coming at him that Saul is hopeless. He says to his armor bearer, the guy that he's probably spent nights at the camp when they were hunting David, you know, he's trading jokes about what they're going to do when they finally catch this kid that's trying to take the kingdom. I mean, or, you know, fried marshmallows together. I don't know. Whatever they do back then at a campfire. All right. He turns to his armor bearer and he says, listen, this battle's not going. My sons are dead. I have nowhere to go.
Plus he's already wounded.
Plus Saul is wounded. He's like, I can't make this. If the Philistines get me, you know how they are. You remember that story of Samson? They plucked out his eyes. You know, there's nothing I can do to defend myself. Armor bearer, I need you. Go ahead and do it. Take the sword. Kill me. And that was a direct order from the king.
He said no.
That was a direct order from the king. But there's a covenant that came with being the king. All right? Israel, the fate of Israel is tied to the fate of the king. God said through Samuel to Saul, listen, Saul. Your people, they're going to prosper or they're not going to prosper based on what you do. Then they said to the people about Saul, listen, you want a king, a man to be the king? This is what he's going to do. He's going to take your sons. He's going to take them to war. He's going to take your daughters, and they're going to be in his palace. If you've got land and stuff, if he wants it, he's going to take it and everything. You still want a king? And they're like, yeah, we want a king. He said, but if he does evil, you're going to be affected. You still want a king? Yeah, we still want a king. So the fate of the king and the fate of the kingdom is intertwined. And we find out here, when Saul turns to his armor bearer and says, kill me. In my mind, I think the armor bearer remembers that Saul was anointed the king of Israel. Though the spirit is gone, he is still the king. And just because he's doing different than he's supposed to, he is still the king. Even at this point, somebody else has been anointed to be the next king of Israel. That somebody was
David.
And even David would not fight against the king.
So he already had an example.
He had an example. David would not militate against.
And he had to drop on Saul.
More than once, David had the opportunity to come in the king, give Israel the king, that maybe not the king they deserved, but the king that they could have really flourished under. All right, he could have given them himself. But he would not go against the anointed of God. So the armor bearer did the same thing. So Saul had to do what? Casey already told us. What did Saul have to do?
He had to kill himself.
He had to kill himself.
I'm not sure where it's at, but in someone else's story, it said that Philistine killed him.
Hmm?
Spoiler alert.
You said in the Philistines killed
him. The person tried to take credit for it.
Oh, that's
yeah.
that's actually
for David. Yeah.
That's
good.
He thought he had good news.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The Ishbosheth. The guys came in and killed him.
It's not coming true.
And they went to David saying, "Hey, you know, I got you." Oh, was that ahead?
That's ahead.
Oh, yeah. This is farther ahead. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It happens with Absalom.
That's what he's thinking.
Yeah.
With Absalom, the same thing. Hey. We killed Absalom. You did.
Yeah, a couple of times, actually.
People in Israel just don't learn. According to the scriptures, and they show themselves to be like we are today. We have their example right here. How many times has the people around this table been a child, and those who are not children anymore, when you think about when you were a child, did your parents tell you the exact same thing? And no sooner had they told you and turned their back that you find yourself doing the exact same thing. Maybe not you, because grandma was trying to...
I never do that. You didn't play either.
It's called the rebellious
phase. The rebellious phase. Some of us start our rebellious phase at the terrible twos and have not yet concluded such a thing. So as we stand here, the armor bearer refuses to kill Saul. Saul has to kill himself. What happens to the armor bearer?
Well, go ahead.
It says the armor bearer saw that Saul was dead. He fell likewise on the sword and died.
So he wasn't going to risk it with the Philistines either.
The woman they're afraid of.
They were afraid of what the Philistines would have done to them had they been captured. Saul was a prideful person. He was cute in the eyes of the girls. He was tall in the eyes of the guys. He was attractive to people. And what happened is when you go to 1 Kings and you look at Saul's life, you'll notice how he goes from almost a coward and unsure of himself to being vain and entirely full of himself. And you see on this last day the end of a man who thinks so much of himself. When you're the center of the universe and you no longer control things, then the world is over. What have you got left to live for? It's only by finding the center of the universe outside of yourself that you find a purpose greater than you to live for.